I know you want to talk about making that money. So, yeah, I got you.
What happens with a lot of brands is they have a winning design. You go out and you go create a whole nother design. You didn't allow that one concept, that one design to get to 10,000 people itself. If Lil Baby drop an album, yes, he might drop another album right back to back, but it's not really like that one going to marinate for a minute. He's going to go on tour with it. But you got to put it on ice right now because you want people to resonate with what you got right now so that way they can understand it. And then you move on to the next thing.
With the clothing brand business, I tell people all the time, it is a patience game. Don't try to do everything yourself. I first started out trying to print my own shirts. But that's a whole day activity to try to print some shirts. So you go out and you're trying to sell to people, but you don't even have that much energy. Position yourself in front of people who are already looking for what you're selling.
Yeah.
Because when people buy shoes, everybody starts their outfit off with shoes. Mm-hmm. Save these people time designing your clothes, which can be the same design, but different colors. So now, essentially, you're selling the same thing, but not really.
In reality, everybody gonna tell you what you think you should be doing when they don't know your business at all. You can't have somebody knowing your business more than you know the business, because then you wouldn't even be in business. The quickest way to have a failing brand is to sell to a person one time. Like, if you went to everybody in the world, sold to them one time, and you couldn't sell it to them again, it would be impossible to survive. The thing that we like to tell people is, like, y'all look at the sales part of it, but we look at the data gathering. And that was how we was able to take our brand from being in that one area to being global.
All right, what's good, y'all? It's your boy Travion, and we are back with Growing Pains Podcast. I'm here with
Yanni.
Hey, y'all, I'm Jada.
For sure. And we have some amazing people on the panel. We got my boy.
What's going on, world? It's your boy Mina on the mic, founder of the Can't Write Even Wrong Movement, where you don't got to apologize for being yourself. You just find your own people, make your own crew.
Period.
Let's go.
Yeah, hey, I love it. All right, I'm Marlon Watts, co-owner and CEO of World Envision.
Hey, I'm Nicholas Clark, co-owner and designer of World Envision, and we in the building.
Yeah. Okay, so we're excited to start this, you know, do this panel, whatever. This has been long awaited. I got some this or that questions, so I'm going to ask them and y'all can answer them. So the first one is, what sells more, graphic-based or text-based shirts?
You want me
I go for I really don't... is whatever is going to stick with your audience. I don't think it's a right or wrong answer right there. Okay. For us, we didn't see, you know, really a combination like what I got on right now. We got a quote on here with a graphic. So if you combine them both, you might get the best of both worlds. All right. So make sure I shout y'all out right there. But like for us, the two designs we had that I think really did the best for us was one, like the abstract Jesus tee, which it was a design. We didn't have no words on it. And, you know, it was vibrant, colorful. It allowed people to like, want to know what our brand was all about, and it allowed us to tell our story. And then another one recently is the everybody, you know, couldn't see the vision. Like everybody just loving that quote because it's true. Like people, we grew our brand, and like people ask us, did y'all think y'all? No, we. Sometimes you could barely see your vision.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you stick through it and you stay consistent, like that's how you grow your brand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I want to touch on that too. So I want to say, essentially, it's about what's the messaging on the actual t-shirt. And it doesn't matter if it's a graphic or if it's a text-based, because people are going to resonate with the message on the actual shirt, and that's what they want to buy. So right now, text-based is actually working out really good for me, but I've actually seen a lot of success in my shirts with a graphic if people can resonate with the message of whatever it is. So anybody that's out there with a brand, I highly recommend that you have some meaningful meaning behind any design that you make.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. Okay, cool. Let me do the next one. Okay, cool. So the next one is, would y'all rather start with a following and no money or money and no following? Which one would y'all rather start with?
Go ahead. You going to go first with this one?
I would say, I would start with the money and no following.
Okay.
Because, like, I know exactly what to do to get a following. And to get a following is basically just telling your story. So a lot of people, you know, we were just talking about this, you know, they think that they got to go out and, you know, get the next influencer to put the product on, or they think that they got to, you know, do something magical to, you know, get followers. But in reality, all you need to do is just put your story in front of a different audience or a larger audience that necessarily does not know about you, and then those people are going to come. So if I had the bread, I'd just... Yeah. Pay to play, you know, pay to get my product or my story in front of a new audience, and then that audience is going to come support.
Okay.
I find it funny you said that, bro, because with a following, to me, that means that they already support you. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't have any money, the people that follow me will support me and will bring me the money. So there's many times, because I have a kiosk in the mall right now at Stonecrest. Make sure you shout with this, Can't Write Every Wrong, where we didn't get new customers. And it was actually a slow month for us. But what brought us those sales are our returning customers, which I consider my following. So, I mean, there's two sides to it, and there's no right or wrong answer, but I would choose the following with no money because I know that my followers would support me.
I like that. Okay. I want to add to that, too. Because what they going to support?
You said what?
What they going to support, they're going to buy the products that you got
100%
that you need the money to buy.
That's what I was just about to come in there. That's what gonna be my thing. I'll take the it's both vice versa in a perspective of where why I was saying I'll take the money is because, like, even if you have followers, they, like you're saying, they're gonna need some support. And what we realize a lot of time is when we don't have the money, we go straight to the pre-order method.
Yeah.
It's just like you're not going to convert as high as you would have converted if you actually had product right there. You could take it in the streets. You go out and you could just, you know, go get jiggy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, like, I would rather have the money, because the issue is that once you even go out and start selling, like, the issue is that you run is you don't have enough merch and you need more capital to go get more merchandise. So if I had unlimited money, I'd just be going to get unlimited product. And you're going to create that audience off of all this product that you have. But if you do have followers, we see it all the time. How many people have millions of followers right now? This is a crazy thing. I saw a video with Kanye West.
Yeah.
Kanye West, and he was talking about, like, literally how, you know, it ain't about the followers. It's really about the actual community that you're building up and that's actually supporting you. Because Taylor Swift got hundreds of millions of followers, and he was saying, like, if her Instagram followers actually converted with her record sales, like, she'll be selling a lot of records. But in reality, that's just, like, people that's just curious about, you know, kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then for us, we really say our customers are really in our data. So that's our email and our text. Our followers are only potential clients that we have that's inside the market, but we're really trying to extract them from these platforms like YouTube, Twitter, X, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Those followers that we have on that, we're trying to extract them and put them inside our own true database and really convert them to a returning customer, like you were saying. Because when they're in that database, you get that text, you're like, oh yeah, that's a returning customer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many times we post and they said that you had all those likes on that post, but it didn't amount to any dollars. But you got those same people to like a post, and then you said notify, you know, get on the waiting list if you really want this. And then once you sent it out there, you got a greater conversion on it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just why I would rather take the money over the followers.
Real quick. If you're not subscribed to the channel, what are you doing? Tap in.
Tap in, twin. Take a 5-second break and go subscribe.
Exactly. We got so much on our channel, y'all. We got vlogs, we got challenges, we got silent library, we got everything. So what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing?
Go subscribe right
what
now.
What are you doing?
Go stand
subscribe.
On business. Go stand on business.
Stand on business, yo.
Let's get back into the episode.
I remember like we used to, when Instagram used to like start tripping or go down, we used to get scared because we used to be like, damn, this is our whole business. But then when we start really realizing, like, we got all our customers inside of a
database.
You know, a database. Like, I don't actually care, you know, if it went down a day.
Well, we do.
Don't go to work. But you get, like we use that as marketing opportunity. Whenever it start tripping, then we can send out a text or email saying, hey, just like Fashion Nova do, Instagram down, but our site not. Go shop with us.
And I tell people all the time, like, you have to look at your customers like clients. You shouldn't only want them to buy from you one time. Like, it should be a compound effect where, okay, this month you got 20 new customers, but next month you're getting 40 that's added on, and then it's 60, and
there
then
you
it should be expounding as it goes on. So, yeah, I mean, both ways are right, man. I agree.
I like that.
We just went off. We just.
No, y'all good, though. Y'all good. Y'all speaking good. So, the next this or that question is, what damages a clothing brand more, bad quality content or a bad design?
Bad customer service.
There you go. I like
bad customer service. That's what a lot of people mess up at. And I hate to go off of what you said, but I know this is a problem that a lot of people are dealing with. A lot of people don't even respond to emails. A lot of people, if you look at people's comment section, they're not even responding to the negative feedback that they're getting.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest issue that a lot of clothing brand owners.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Because they're dealing with right now. It's not necessarily that you're getting chargebacks because you didn't do something right. What you didn't do right is you're not responding, you're not giving people good customer service, and you're not giving them the reassurance that you're going to actually ship their stuff out or you're going to make sure that they get it. So I think with black businesses, we get a lot of bad critique a lot of times. And it's partially because of that, because we can't halfway do anything. We have to do it 100%. So it's not only Absolutely. Making a dope product, it's making sure that you provide good customer service in that. Mm-hmm. Tell me the options again.
Bad design. Oh, bad design or bad quality content.
I think bad quality content will put you in a worse predicament because that's essentially what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. So with your content, that's how they're seeing that it is a good design. And mm-hmm. I've seen okay designs actually do really good because of good content. So
that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm interested to hear what you guys got to say.
Yeah, you stole it right there. I kind of agree with you said because we didn't see like basic designs, and if you have a story behind it, it's gonna sell. Mm-hmm. But what we haven't seen is like people that create bad content actually do good. So
yeah. I've seen this one brand
online specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me make sure I add that in because you could not make content and you could still make money.
Yeah.
I was about to say I've seen this one brand. I can't think of the name of it right now, but they do like millions and millions in sales every single month, and they sell like blank T-shirts. But their content is on point to their customer mm-hmm. because, like, you know how like we like the boxy fit tees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's another audience out there that actually want to like wear a shirt that's fit. You know, to mm-hmm. their body. That may be somebody in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and they don't want to wear nothing boxy. They want to wear it fitted so they can show off their guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like that content, you know, is dedicated to that audience, and they make millions and millions of dollars because their content is on point. And I feel like if they didn't have that correct content, they wouldn't be able to sell blank T-shirts and make millions of dollars.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. Trey, you want to do the last one?
Yeah, that's fine. So the last one that we have is, would you rather a manufacturer overseas or in state?
I mean,
you gotta go ahead.
Yeah, it's like You gotta do both. So we started off, you know, with our brand. We say it all the time. We started with 12 shirts and $120. So we bought, you know, T-shirts off. We started on Uber Prints. That's what it was called, Uber Prints. And then that's when we figured out that we could go get a T-shirt off, you know, SS Activewear or Alpha Broda, you know, buy the shirt, then bring it to the print shop, right? But we want to have stuff quick. And sometimes, you know, a manufacturer can't deliver in the next 7 days.
Yeah.
So if you have somebody here, they able to deliver, you know, with speed. So what we like to do is we like to, you know, play it either, you know, 60-40 or 50-50 or sometimes 80-20, meaning, you know, we getting some products made overseas mm-hmm. while we still getting some products made in the state so we could continuously deliver to our customers with speed.
Yeah.
Like, that's really the main thing, like, because we can't wait. Like, we want to release something every week. And it's tough, you know, if we waiting on this one person from all the way on the other side of the world
yeah.
to deliver us this product when we still got other options that we can make something happen right now. So I would say you're going to need a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And whenever you're going overseas, a lot of times you're dealing with bulk orders. So if you're somebody that's starting out and you don't have a good sum of money, mm-hmm. it's better to start off locally because a lot of places locally, like Alpha Broder, you can go and order one shirt and start off with that one shirt and then go pick it up same day, especially if you're in Atlanta or some of their local locations. You go on Alpha Brody, you set up an account, you can go up there and pick up one shirt, two shirt, three shirts, rather than ordering overseas where they have a 50 MOQ, which is the minimum order quantity, or 100 MOQ. Right. So just depending on where you're at in your brand will determine the answer to that question. But a lot of beginners, I highly advise you start off locally, because you need to figure out what type of product you're even looking for.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
When you're talking to overseas manufacturers, you have to first understand there's a language barrier. They don't really understand what you're saying. And two, you're kind of sourcing, selecting different fabrics. If you don't even know what fabric you want, do you want something heavyweight? Do you want something with a vintage look? Do you want something with acid wash? You don't really know yet. Do you want a boxy look? Since you don't know these things yet, you have to figure out what works. So that's why I always recommend people to start off locally, because when you start off locally, a lot of times you're getting blanks, and the blanks are already cut out for you, which is optimized to what most customers will like. Mm-hmm. But when you're going overseas, you're kind of styling it yourself.
Yeah.
So you don't even know if you want something boxy, if you want something tight fit, or if you want something loose fit. You don't know that yet. And you don't know what your customers want, because essentially what this clothing brand game is not really about what we want. It's about what the customer wants.
Totally.
So we got to take that into consideration.
That's true. That is good. So those are our icebreaker questions. And if y'all haven't figured it out already, today we are talking about clothing brands. But we don't want to just talk about, I guess, like the beginner, like, oh, how to get started, how to start a clothing brand, things like that. We really want to talk to our audience about, like, how to get to that money, okay? Like, how to really start making some money for your brand. But before we get into questions, could y'all, like, briefly just tell our audience, for those who don't know y'all, like, just how y'all got started with your brand, like, what made you create it? And then once y'all say that, we could get into questions.
Cool. So we started our brand with 12 shirts and $120. Like Nick said, we started by just designing stuff on Uber prints, custom ink, ordering it, selling it to our classmates. Before we actually started doing that, we were selling candy and iPhone accessories. So going to Costco, Sam's Club, then iPhone accessories, we was getting it off of eBay. Got into the clothes because we was basically spending our money on clothes. It was just a hobby. Like, it wasn't something that we was, like, thinking we could make a business. Like, literally, it was just to not spend money on clothes. And then we ended up going to college. I played football. Nick had a top scholarship, and we got in the business accelerator program, which turned our hobby into a business. Is really when we started to learn about, you know, taxes, cost of goods, profit margin, team building, the why, like break even, like cost of goods, like actually running a business for real. And that's when we changed our mindset, and that's when we started to get around other entrepreneurs that was doing the things that we wanted to do. And after school, we decided that we was going to go into the business full time, moved back down to New Orleans. We opened up 3 kiosk locations. We had 2 in New Orleans and 1 in Baton Rouge. COVID happened, shut them down, started going online, creating content, shipping out, you know, like thousands of orders a day. You know, we had 55 team members inside of our warehouse. Yeah, I was 24 years old, 23, managing 50 people. And we were scaling this thing up to, you know, point that we are now, where now we do, you know, we have the network, we on YouTube, we got the AYV, which is Activate Your Vision, which promotes the why behind our brand. So our brand mission is that we provide original designs and branded fashion to urban youth who feel stagnant and trapped by what the environment tells them what they can and cannot do. The product is just the tangible that you get to wear to represent. The intangible of what we actually doing is to activate your vision. It's us actually getting out there and standing behind what we say we want to do. And that's what made us get on YouTube and share our information. That's what make us do those events, entrepreneurship events. That's what make us do the pitch competition, give away $1,000, because we want to, you know, you have to be, we call it like actually going out there and saying, you know, being a representation of what you're saying, your brand, standing on your brand. Like, a lot of brands, you know, have this big mission statement, and then I ask them, like, what do you actually do to promote that? Like, what you actually do in the real world besides sell product? And there's a struggle there. And so we made that one of our actual duties of, you know, doing what we said we was going to do.
I like that.
That's dope, bro. Yeah. How old you said you were?
I'm 28 now. But, yeah, so we've been doing this for 14 years.
Hey, man, I ain't going to lie. Can we give a round of applause for that, man?
That's
amazing.
That's right, for sure.
hard.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I mean, because that's really what it's about. So one of the things that stuck out to me, what you said, was like being stuck in an environment. So my name is Mina on the mic, but my brand name is Crew, and every letter in Crew stands for something. It's can't write every wrong. Can't write every wrong. So what we tell people is you don't have to apologize for being yourself. You just find like-minded individuals like you, and you make your own crew. And the way how I even came up with that is because a lot of people fail to even, let me see how deep I want to go with this. So a lot of people are just stuck in this mindset of their environment that they're in and wherever they are. So depending on who's in that area, they fall into different influences of whoever makes the most money. And a lot of times in our community, is somebody is making money in the wrong ways, the illegal ways. So I've seen so many people go to jail for little small petty crimes or doing small petty things for the wrong reasons. So I wanted to be able to get people to get into their own state of mind. This is why we say you don't have to apologize for being yourself. Whenever you're doing what's best for you or you're keeping yourself in your best interest, people try to make you feel wrong for that. So I want to remind you guys again, we say can't right every wrong. You don't have to apologize for doing for being yourself. You don't have to apologize for doing what's best for you. Instead of saying sorry, we say can't right every wrong.
Let's clap that up for me, man. Okay. Let's clap it up.
And you started Crew young as well. But yeah, you started Crew young as well. You were in high school?
I was 15 when I started the brand.
Okay,
Crew.
Cool.
And a lot of people, depending on who you meet, they're going to tell you that they heard about the brand in different ways. So, and that's what's beauty about it, because it started off as a music group and then evolved us into us doing events. And then from all of our supporters, that's why I thought it was so great that you asked that question earlier with the this or that. Would mm-hmm. you rather start off with the followers and no money? I was somebody that started off with no money, but I had people that supported my brand from the music and from the events. And that's how I started my clothes, because I this kind of fell in my lap.
Yeah.
People loved the movement. They loved what we stood for. They loved our events and they loved our music. So they will offer to pay us money every single day. So when I tell people, go to Alpha Broder and you can be able to pick up one shirt, two shirts, that's what I did in high school.
Yeah.
I would go pick up a shirt on my lunch break and bring it back to school and make that sale. That's and it was hard. A compound effect where it would just add on to now I have a kiosk in the same location where I first made my first store. Yay. I mean, my first shirt.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
That's
we got another clap up. Another clap up.
Yeah, show.
Okay, so did you have a question?
No, you can go.
Okay, cool. So we have a question to kind of start the conversation off. What does a brand need to have in place before they make their first 1,000 sales?
Okay.
1,000 sales?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I got you. Good. So, because I know you want to talk about making that money.
Exactly.
Nah, for sure. So, yeah, I got
that
you.
Money
I got you.
On.
So, just being honest, like, you know, let's just start with, before we even start with the 1,000 sales, mm-hmm. let's just start with like making $10,000 a month with your brand. Mm-hmm. That's like, I'm gonna break it down. Like, it's super easy. I'm sure the kiosks make $300 a day. You get what I mean? Yeah. Like, so all you gotta really do is put your brand in position to make $300 every single day. That's gonna be your $10,000, right? And a lot of times, like, when people never make $10,000 with their brand. Just let's just talk about gross sales, because they don't have the mindset to be able to even understand that it's possible. Like, when we first got started, like dog. I remember, like, when I, like, long time ago, like, I remember when I saved my first $1,000. I thought that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like I worked at the movies. That, like, nobody probably never, like, it was my only job I had ever. Worked at the movies, it was my goal to buy me a computer. I just wanted a MacBook computer. My mama was like, you crazy for wanting to spend $1,200, you know, on a MacBook computer. I'm from New Orleans, I'm from the Seven Ward, we come from nothing. Right, so saved up my first $1,000, spent all that money on a MacBook computer, and it was like, now it's like we got like 10 computers at the warehouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like it was a mindset transformation to understand that it's possible to do that. So first and foremost, like it's better to do it fast, just so you could change the way you think, and you could be able to see yourself accomplish more. But making $10,000 a month, all you got, what we said, all you got to do is make $300 a day. If you're doing it online, we like to say spend 20-30% of it on promotion, which is kind of high at the start, but you're only doing it just to acquire customers. Just like my boy was saying, you're going to get, you know, your first $10,000 worth of customers this month, but then you're going to add on to it the next month, and you're going to continuously remarket back to them. The quickest way to have a failing brand is to sell to a person one time.
Like, if you went to everybody in the world, sold to them one time, and you couldn't sell it to them again, it would be impossible to survive. It's like Netflix. That's why they could be a billion-dollar company, because it's $9.90. Well, it's probably $20 a month now. Probably, but it's that recurring revenue that's coming in every single month, and it's the same thing with a brand. Mm-hmm. So to get to your first 1,000 customers, like, it sounds so cliche, but you really got to have the mindset to understand that 1,000 is really not a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing. And you got to figure out two directions, either online or in person. If you're going to go in person, we call it the backpack method. Put shirts in your bag and go trap them out the bag.
Yeah.
Sell as many as you can sell. Then we call scaling the backpack method to the kiosk. You either do the pop-ups. Yeah, pop-ups first. I'm skipping the process. Yeah. Pop-up shop. So in college, we did a pop-up shop every week.
Yeah.
Every week, we made $1,000. You get what I mean? And then you scale that with a kiosk. Now you make sales every single day. But the thing that we like to tell people is, like, y'all look at the sales part of it, but we look at the data gathering. Like, our three kiosks, like, it made $20,000 each month from, well, like, about, I say 15 to 20 good months, right? So that's 60K coming from the three kiosks. But in reality, we was collecting $60,000 worth of data every single month.
Yeah.
And that was how we was able to take our brand from being in that one area, you know, to being global. Yeah. Because you're going to use that data to remarket to those customers. And now once you hit $100,000 in sales, like, you're not going to make less than $100,000 as long as you're continuously using that data.
Well,
I know I went all the way.
I'm doing the things that work. I'm going to give you something that's not going to allow you to continue to reach that goal. Because what happens with a lot of brands is they have a winning design. They have a winning concept. And let's just say you made it and reach your first 1,000 customers, but you reached your first 100 customers. And you know what you do? You go out and you go create a whole nother design, a whole nother idea, a whole nother concept. And now you didn't allow that one concept, that one design to get to 10,000 people itself. Now you have even more data to release the next stuff. We had realized to ourselves, like, we was burning, like, our designs. Like, it's like if Lil Baby drop an album, yes, he might drop another album right back to back, but it's not really like that one gonna marinate for a minute. He gonna go on tour with it. Like, they're gonna really, like, soak everything out of this one, even though he might got millions of more songs in the vault. But you gotta put it on ice right now, because you want people to resonate with what you got right now, so that way they can understand it, and then you move on to the next thing. Because what happens is you just keep releasing the same new stuff to the same old people. And, you know, every time they're not buying it, and you wonder why your brand not growing, but it's just because you keep diversifying yourself in so many different ways. You went from this winning tee to a hat.
What's up, y'all? Real quick, I know you guys are enjoying this episode, but I just want to speak to all my Christian streetwear brand owners. So as you guys know, and if you don't, I have my own Christian streetwear brand called Wise Label. And in my journey of 3 years of owning this brand, I have experienced a lot of ups and downs, highs and lows. I've experienced wanting to cry, scream, and throw up. I've experienced it all. But the thing is, I've been able to bounce back off of that. And I know even you watching this video, you may be at a point where you want to start your clothing brand, where you want to grow it, where you feel stuck, where, you know what I'm saying, you feel like you want to 10x in it. And I know exactly how you feel. So I actually launched my first ebook. In this ebook, I put every single lesson, every single hardship, every single tip that I've got in this brain in this book. It's filled with game. And on top of that, I am starting one-on-one mentorship, and this is going to be for my brand owners that feel like they want exclusive help with me. For this, it's only going to be a few people before the ebook. It's open for everybody. It's definitely going to be an investment you won't regret. So if you're interested, the link is in the bio. Now let's get back into this episode.
Yeah. So do you think, okay, so you mentioned like having a customer, or how did you say it? Okay, you said a customer should not just buy from you once. And then you also mentioned, you know, I guess like sticking to one design. So when it comes to that, do you feel like, okay, say you have this one design, should you just focus on selling that to a whole bunch of people, and then I guess once you feel like you've reached the limit, then you come in and start adding new products and make those people who were like one-time customers like multiple like buying customers? Or
it's a simultaneous thing, because it's like, all right, I ask this question right here all the time. Denim tears, what do you know them for? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cotton balls, that's what I call them,
the
right?
Reefs.
Balling what other design? Balls. What other design do you know? Nothing. But they got a whole. So much they got stuff. A whole line.
Yes,
like they actually do.
Yeah, they release. Like,
but we don't
stuff.
Really know because that's not the main promoted thing. They at least they promote in the main. It's like when an artist drop an album. Let's go back. What you hearing? What you listening to? The single.
Yeah.
And then you get introduced to everything else.
That's a good point.
And you know what I can say to that too? So for one, I've been pushing the same logo since I first got started. Anybody can tell you that, which is the crew logo. And we got the Can't Write Every Wrong on the back, which I'll end up showing you guys. But the thing about it is you can always change the colors.
There you go.
You can always change the colors. And let me give you guys a little hack. So Jordan released the same sneakers almost every month for the past 10 years, which is a multi-million dollar, probably billion dollar business, right?
Yeah.
So if you ever want to make your first $10,000, you need to look at what Jordans are coming out in the next couple months. With the clothing brand business, I tell people all the time, it is a patience game. And you have to work ahead. So you'll notice every year around like October, November, all the big name companies like Fendi, Louis Vuitton and everything, they're doing their spring summer fashion show in October. Mm-hmm. Because they're working ahead. So to be a successful clothing brand, we have to work ahead. We have to see what Jordans are coming out because we know people in our culture love Jordans. Somebody probably got some Jordans on today, right? Mans do. So as you know what Jordans are coming out, especially if you're in a mall location or just somewhere where people want to buy, design your clothes to match those Jordans that are coming out. Because when people buy shoes, everybody starts their outfit off with shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now they're walking around the mall. They're searching online for something to match those shoes. Save these people time by making it easy for them by designing your clothes, which can be the same design but different colors. So now essentially you're selling the same thing, but not really.
Yeah. We call it you flipping a design. So what we do is what I did at the end of the year, December 31st last year, what I did was I created a document, and it was every last single holiday, even national days, the whole year.
Yeah.
So, like, what we do is we'll take the same designs and the same concepts, but we use the holidays to market that product. So, Valentine's Day, you know, you might drop a red shirt, you know, with white, or pink shirt with white, but it's the same exact product. You just changing the colorways, and now you marketing it with a special occasion going on. It's Valentine's Day or it's Mardi Gras. We did the same curve logo, but we put some Mardi Gras beads on it for Mardi Gras. And that was like, went crazy.
Oh,
so all you got to really do is just take your same winning concept and just add a little flavor to it based on, you know, what's relevant at that time.
I like that.
There's millions of people in the world. So it's like you're never really running out of people to sell to. But I also want to touch on that question, which you say, how can you make your first $10,000? What is something that a brand needs to do? The first thing I tell people is don't try to do everything yourself. So a lot of brands, whenever they first are starting out, they try to print themselves, bag everything up themselves, and then you have to go sell it. Mm-hmm. I always tell people you need to focus on sales. So with me, I don't even create my own logos. I don't print my shirts because at that time, first of all, I first started out trying to print my own shirts. But that's a whole day activity to try to print some shirts. Really? So with you trying to do that, you done burnt out all your energy to even try to make some sales now. So you go out and you're trying to sell to people, but you don't even have that much energy. So what I recommend people to do, because I still come up with the concepts. And a lot of times if I need some creative direction, I'll go on websites like Fiverr and I'll type in, okay, graphic designers or streetwear graphic designers. And I'll tell them, hey, the name of my brand is Crew. It stands for Can't Right Every Wrong. And my brand represents this, which is loyalty and respect. Be loyal to one another and respect one another. And as I tell them that, I'm saying, I'm allowing you to be creative. Because I feel like when we go to graphic designers and we tell them exactly what we want, you're putting them in a box.
Yeah.
Because you're going to them for their expertise and the creativity. So if I go to them and I say, okay, I want my shirt to look exactly like this, you put them in a box, you're not allowing them to be creative. Mm-hmm. But this is what they do for a profession. This is like what they do. So I tell them essentially my vision or the message behind my brand. And I say, I'm allowing you to be creative, but I need it to reflect what my brand represents, which is the loyalty and respect. So now not only are you releasing some time off by allowing them to do that, but you're also getting it to look professional. Because a lot of people that make their own logos for their t-shirts, I can tell. Yeah. I can literally tell when somebody's like, oh yeah, I designed this myself. If you're not a professional graphic designer, a lot of times your customers can tell too. But you want to present yourself to look so professional that people can't even tell if this is a startup brand or if this is a big name designer brand.
That's a good point.
So a lot of people, like, whenever you're starting your brand or whenever you're trying to sell your brand, please do not try to do everything yourself. Find a graphic designer. Find somebody to back up. 9 times out of 10, whoever prints your shirts will also back up your shirts. So now you're presenting it to the customer in the most neatest and the most professional way possible. There's not lint on the shirt. The shirts aren't wrinkled. And this is typically what I recommend everybody to do whenever you're starting out your brand.
Nah, for sure.
I feel like that helps people be able to get an idea of, like, how to not burn themselves out while trying to, like, create a brand. Because you're just trying to do all the elements, and instead of delegating it, it's like you're just taking it on. So I think that's really good. The one thing that I had is I'm a graphic designer. So with doing like designs, I recently have been doing like these creative designs for
shirts.
Shout
out to his t-shirt.
The shirt that I have on. Yeah. and so it's a lot that I'm learning from them because they already have a clothing brand. And I wanted to ask you guys, like, how do you prepare for a successful drop? What is all of the pieces to the puzzle that helps you, like, all right, this needs to be done before announcing and creating a website and all of that stuff?
You need a text list, you need a email list. Like, you should be getting people to sign up, you should have a countdown, you should be reminding people. Like, so what we do, we got this 5-day launch that we do. We call it like a promo cycle, right? Now, just being honest, we have an audience already. So if you was just gathering the audience, what I would do is I like to run ads, me. Like, I actually like to run ads just for leads. It's crazy because, like, I took the same concept as, like, what people use to get people to show up to a live class. I get them to do that for, like, come buy a product on a drop date.
Can you explain that a little more?
So, like, it's, like, almost like if you sign up for a webinar.
Yeah.
It's going to come, you know, they're going to keep on texting you saying, hey, show up, you know, on this day.
Okay.
They're going to tell you that, you know, make sure you hear, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just like we took the same concept. We even built landing pages.
Yeah.
Where it was like, this the date. Like, we'll put the product on the landing page. And, like, okay, what I would do is run ads for leads. So we would pay a couple dollars for the leads. And we just run in the numbers because if we had 1,000 people that signed up for this drop to come, we're going to try to at least convert 20% of them.
Yeah.
So we just took the same strategy and we put it inside of our market. Mm-hmm. And that was how we was able to, like, we had this one drop that it was these hoodies we sold for $80. It was the hoodie version of the shirt that Marlon got on. Mm-hmm. All right, we sold it for $80, but what we did was we created content. And I just spent, like, probably like $200 a day, $300 a day on just gathering emails and phone numbers, emails and phone numbers, emails and phone numbers for at least like 3 to 4 days. Mm-hmm. And then what happened on that date, I just kept reminding them. Like, I would tell them, you know, 24 hours out, get ready. I would tell them 3 hours before. And then I would tell them an hour before too. But I would do that mainly through emails. Then I send out one mass text. That drop did like $70,000 in an hour.
Wow.
So, like, we just use all of that momentum, all those signups, and we nurture them throughout those days to be able to do that launch. The thing that a lot of people don't have success with launches is because they're not launching it to anybody.
Yeah.
So, like, either you're going to launch to your audience that you already have, mm-hmm. or you're going to go out and try to build an audience to launch to. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure out which one it is, because if you don't have no followers, obviously you need to do something to get the followers. Yeah, like, you can't, sure. Like, it's only so much stuff that you could do for free. I'm just being real with you. And like, if you want to make money, like, you, sometimes you're going to have to spend money to make money.
A lot
money.
Of times.
Yeah, it's true. Well, majority of the time. So I would say, like, think about, do you want to launch this product to the audience you got?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to launch this product to a new audience? If you want to launch to the audience that you have, keep in mind, this is only the audience that you have.
Mm.
So based on this number, you know, 10% of your followers see your post.
Mm-hmm.
So take 10% of what your followers is and just know that this is the only people that may see it.
Yeah.
Now take another 10% of that and say these are the people that might buy.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say? So my favorite thing to do is to launch to a new audience, and you pay for leads.
Mm-hmm.
And you get those leads because they're inside of your system already. And that, like, bro, it's crazy because if they had 5 people on this side, they was willing to give me their email and phone number, I make no money. But I had one person right here just trying to give me $20. I probably would take the 5 emails and phone numbers because I could send them a text or an email, and I might get 2 people to buy instead of the 1. Or I might get 1 person to buy, over and over and over and over again. I would say, like, figure out if it's going to be to your audience or if it's going to be to a new audience. If it's to a new audience, pay to play. Do a promo cycle. Tell them, you know, 48 hours out, 24 hours out. Tell them an hour out, and then just launch it to them through email and text, and you good. Got it.
That's so, question.
My boy gonna need that clip right there.
Not for real. I feel like crazy so much.
It's so much though. Like, y'all don't understand, bro. It's so much.
So one thing that I realize is when people are dropping, right, they see like people with big brands, J. Cole, Beyonce, different things like that. They see them drop a song or a product late at night or just a random time, and some people may tend to think, oh, I can do the same thing, but you don't have that buying power that they have.
Exactly.
So how far, like how far out should you start promoting, especially if you're going to be marketing to a new audience?
Bro, you could do promotion. Yeah, as long as you can, like a month, you could do it for, like this whole month could be around this one drop. Okay. And then like what's crazy
especially if you don't have product coming in like that.
Correct.
That's because you should just be keep building it up to have the biggest drop if you really got to re-up and it take 30 more days.
Correct. And like social media is about aesthetic sometimes. So a lot of times people don't be wanting to post every day. So you gotta work around that. So now it's like you could post reels without posting it on your page. Gotcha. So like you could have your reels flooded.
Yeah.
You know, with content every day and testing out different things. That's what we're doing currently. And you could still have your page looking great, you know, but you could use, and then TikTok, oh, you should just flood that, like, and then use different, like, things, like, that's relevant to be able to, like, get people to engage. It was the thing we did with the jerseys. We was like, we dropping $5.99 jerseys. It was like $5.99. And then I was like, I commented on it and pinned a comment and was like, oh, it's a typo. Mm-hmm. $59.99. I ain't mean to do that.
Yeah.
But in reality, it was just, you know, putting some personality in it. People like when we do some funny things. But also, I was already letting them know the price before we drop, so they can already know what they're getting themselves into. So, like, you got to just find different things to do to just get your audience engaged. Yeah. But I definitely think that we got to keep in mind, like, people that have, like, wild successful drops, like, 9 times out of 10 have an audience present. Mm-hmm. So, like, we got to understand how, like, y'all watch Shark Tank?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everybody hate Kevin O'Leary, but I like him. Yeah. Because the thing that he talk about is customer acquisition costs. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your customer acquisition cost? If you know how much it costs to acquire a customer, like, you should just, like, it was like when we did the math, it was like $18 to acquire a customer, mm-hmm. right? I might lose $2, you know, to acquire a customer. Mm-hmm. But then every customer that we acquire, the average spend, like, with us is $180. Mm. So I know if I'm acquiring them at $18, I know they're going to come back and spend $180 with me over a lifetime. Not to say the people who keep buying.
Yeah.
So if you know your customer acquisition cost, that's when you're going to start to understand how much money you need to be investing. Because if it costs $18 to acquire a customer, mm-hmm. then that means I need to spend as many $18 as possible and then do like Karen O'Leary said, how do we get that cost down?
Yo, getting to the money is like is mm-hmm. when you're going down is like really understanding your business.
Yes.
Yeah. And understanding your business where, like, you actually know it. Like, how much product costs, you know, like he was saying, because you need to make decisions based off of the data inside of your company. Mm-hmm. Similar to, like, we just talked about, having data to get them to actually spend money with you, you need to make your company decisions based off the data that you're currently getting. And that's how we know how to make better decisions inside of our company, because we looking at the data that we provide in ourselves. Like, some clothing brands don't know they don't know their margins. A lot of us, we don't even have our books in order. Like, we really don't even know how much we even made nor spent, to be real. It's like things like that. Like, we think about having a brand and just making money. And we used to, you know, go on the flip side of it because Nick used to always argue the fact of a brand is about, you know, design, mm-hmm. which it is. But at a certain point, like, it's about, like, systems and, like, getting the delivery and we're providing a world-class experience, like he's saying, like, running your business like a world-class organization. Like, that's what a brand actually is.
Yeah. I got a question. All right, because I know we use Shopify. Obviously, they should be sponsoring this episode since I mentioned them. But do y'all use the cost per item? Like, do y'all actually put y'all cost in? Like, you could edit the product where it say like cost per item. So like you put your cost per item, and then now you could integrate your Shopify with like an app called like Triple Well. Y'all ever heard of that?
Yeah.
So like then now that you got all of your numbers intact, yeah, you could start actually seeing like your net profit based on everything that you
spend. Like
it's so like you gotta go deeper into the numbers. Yeah. So what we do is we use that software, and then we have our ads set up with it. So every day we're able to look at our net profit. Yeah. So anytime we run any type of sales or promotion, like we know what the net profit is, and then now we know if that's a successful campaign or not. So then we could take that one campaign and we could continuously do that same campaign, but we use different languages.
Yeah.
So like I would strongly recommend going to your Shopify account and make sure you're putting your cost per item inside of the, so whenever you integrate it with other softwares, you actually know what is the profit. Because most of the time, like, we don't even know how to, like, we don't even be knowing how to get the cost of the product. Mm-hmm. Like, when I be talking to, you know, the, like, people that we teach,
yeah,
like, they don't understand that it's like, if you go overseas and they say, all right, you only gonna make 100 items, but you gotta buy 1,000 tags. Mm-hmm. We don't understand that that's still a cost associated. Like, you still buying 1,000 tags.
Yeah.
So you still need to divide that by the 100 items, even if you're not using the tags or not.
Or at least know the cost per tag.
Or know the cost per tag. Exactly. So you got all that, like, even travel. Like, how much gas it costs to get this product over here to this warehouse. And now you got to break. Like, you really need to do the math. Like, we never actually do the math. So we never able to be, like, right when we want to be right. Because we don't know. Like, it's like Marlon be saying, it's like, we be throwing darts, you know, at a target with a blindfold on.
Yeah.
Like, and to make money with a brand, like, you got to be throwing darts without a blindfold. And you got to know exactly what it's costing you. Because you got to keep in mind.
And you can't, because sitting on inventory.
That's what I was just about to say. That's what I was just about to say.
You know, most brands, in the sense of not turning around inventory.
Not turning around inventory. Yeah. Product sitting is where your money is.
Stanky fish. So, that's what we call it.
Stanky fish.
Okay, follow up real quick. So, what do y'all do about the customers who, okay, say they come, okay, how you said you pay for leads and different things like that. So you have these people that come and find your brand. They love what they see, but they haven't bought anything yet. And, Mina, I want you to answer that, too. Like, what are y'all doing to nurture those custom, or not even customers yet, but what are y'all doing to nurture those people who find your brand, but they haven't bought nothing yet? And, like, what are y'all consistently doing
to turn them into a customer?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You want to go first, bro?
Yeah, I can go first. I mean, I use the low-hanging fruit. So I know what drives the customer's behavior, and it's typically getting influencers to wear your clothes. You get influencers to wear your clothes. People want what they see their favorite celebrity wearing or their favorite influencer wearing. So a lot of times, I mean, it happens a lot of times organically for me, but then I will notice that once the influencer wears it, people are coming and they're saying, oh, I want what Young Nudie just had because Young Nudie was in our brand before. Or I want what 22G's just had because he had it in there before. But really, it's as they come to your website and then maybe they even sign up. They are in your email list and everything, but they haven't bought yet. A lot of times it might just be because they don't have the money at that point in time. But every single person that I meet, I don't care where I know you from, how old you are, whatever, I tell them to follow me on Instagram. And the reason why I tell them to follow me on Instagram is because Instagram is your resume. Instagram is your daily promotion. People are following you. A lot of people use Instagram as a diary to be able to vent about their life. No, I use Instagram to market to my customers every single day for free. Like, because it costs to email people. It costs to text people. But not to post on Instagram. And if they follow you on Instagram, then they see everything that you're posting. Hopefully, I mean, you know how Instagram is shadow banning people now, but I'm optimizing my pictures, so I'm trying to get models to take like the flyest picture ever in my actual clothes, because now people see how it's supposed to be worn, and they know. Because the thing that is really good about me having an in-store location on top of online, when you're online, you're not really getting real-time feedback from customers, but when you're in person, people are coming up to you and they're like, man, I really like this shirt, but I wish you had it in green. I really like this shirt, but I wish you had it in purple. Dang, I wish this logo was on, you had a print on the back as well. So you're also figuring out in real time what is stopping that person from buying at that particular moment. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, post on Instagram more in different ways of people wearing it, and just make it look as fly as possible, whatever it is, even if it's a basic shirt. Make it look as fly as possible and get like influential people. When you do influencer marketing, don't just go for a rapper or a celebrity. Go for fashion influencers, because typically people like the way how they dress. So those are the people that's going to buy.
Mm-hmm. And for us, I say it's a couple of things. Number one is going to be automation. So taking them through a series of flows, even like if they haven't purchased, like getting them, like every email that we also do have. So even that, now we got your lead, even though if you're not buying, we're still trying to continue to get you into what we got going. So every email at the bottom, we got the app. So it's just continuing to get them to see. The next thing is, like Nick said, we always run an ad. So now that we got you, now we want to continue to read. It's just continuing to retarget that person. A lot of it is done through like automation. Like, you know, if they haven't bought in 14 days, hey, we want to send a reminder, like re-engage them with a story that we made to have, that, you know, just offering them an extra deal right here. And then it's sometimes where it's like when we doing a drop, I mean, we don't even send it to the people that's not even buying. We only send it to the engaged list, and then we figure out, we'll test something, we'll call it like the dead list. We'll just test something with them and see what's going on and see if we can get them to re-engage. But if they're really not re-engaging, honestly, we just focus on the people that is buying.
Yeah, I was gonna hit on like focusing on the people that is buying that are at least engaging, because a lot of things that we do, they got to have at least open something for you to receive the next things that's coming. And if you're not open, it don't make sense to send it to you, because all it's doing is driving my open rates down. So like most people, like open rates probably be way less than 50%. Like we be up in the 65-70% because we focus on the engaged people. Now one thing I would like to add is, one thing that we added inside of our Activate Your Vision business is, we just ask them why they not buying. Like you literally could like put a survey like in the text and just say, just tell me why you ain't buying. Like, is it that you don't have the money? Is it that you don't know the story? Is it that you don't, you know, how it fit on you? Like, what is it? Like, and that's what I was saying earlier.
You need to do that.
Like, yeah, you just need to ask them, like, figure out what is it? You know what I mean? And are you just here just to just see what was going on? And that's fine.
And in person, too. Ask them. Like, if somebody said no, like, why didn't you buy?
Yeah, just, but in reality, like, you really just trying to at least get them to, you probably don't even want them to buy on the, of course, I would want everybody in my database to buy. But sometimes it's like you got to have those step-by-step. So you may just want that person to get back engaged. You just may want that person to just open up one time. So you may send out things that may not be a sale, may not be a product. We like to call it like celebrate, you know, let them celebrate with you. Mm-hmm. So it may just be like, hey, I just sold my 1,000th item. You know, like, so we got like 8,500 app downloads right now. So we already got the graphic. We already got the layout of, oh, when we hit 10,000 downloads, we're going to allow all of our customers to celebrate with us, all our supporters to celebrate with us. And then now when they get in the email saying, oh, y'all got 10,000 downloads, now they going to hop back in, you know, or, you know, they may at least just open, and then the next time they may buy. But it's about just at least just getting them back engaged first before you try to close them on the sale.
Yeah, and real quick, Jada, because I know me and you have, like, high price points. I mean, a lot of times it's just offering like a discount, especially like sometimes I do like a crazy discount just because I'm so confident in my product that I know once they buy that first product and they actually put it on, they like it, they see the quality of it, they're going to come back and buy more. So I'm not worried about losing money on that front end because I know once they actually get a product, they're going to come back and buy a lot more. So you can do discounts, adding reviews on your website because people want to know that you're legit. A lot of times that's one thing that's stopping people is like, are they even going to ship my clothes? So having reviews on your website that people just like, yeah, I bought this and I loved it, da 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 da. I mean, that's really good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Okay. Well, like something that I like from all of y'all, y'all was talking about like the Stinky Fish like products saying that was good. And you were talking about like posting your stuff on Instagram and getting it out because that is a way you can get your product in front of people for free. Mm-hmm. How would you guys recommend getting people to your website through content? Like what specifically do y'all implement in your content to make sure people are actually going to y'all website and buying?
That's a great question. I would say sometimes, like, so a lot of our front end content that you just see on our Instagram page is not for, is, like, we don't intentionally say go buy or like go click or go shop. Like majority of like paid ads is like go buy, go shop, go click. Like, so I would say whenever we doing any like page promotion, whenever we just doing regular content on our pages, making videos, we don't tell you to buy. Mostly we may say just sign up, you know, for the list. Like, we never actually say just click the link and buy. We may just be like, hey, everybody, DM us this word, just so we could get a lot of store views. And then we say, hey, you got to get on this list to be able to know, you know, more information about this. So it's always about extracting that data firsthand. Like, it's never about like, oh, go buy. But I would say retarget ads that we run on Facebook is literally like, this the product. This is what's great about it. This is the story. Go buy it. So I would say that content on the back end, paid advertising, I would say go click and buy.
Okay, cool.
I mean, really, it's just posting content, yeah. Being consistent, like posting every single day. The problem that a lot of people have is they post it one time and then they kind of just like leave it alone. But I mean, you want with your clothing brand, right? Because essentially, you want to already position yourself in front of people who are already looking for what you're selling.
Yeah.
Like with sales, to be a great salesman, it's not really pressure selling. It's like, buy this. You want to figure out what people want. What are they looking for in this moment? So that goes back to when I was saying, find out what Jordans are coming out in the next couple months and get, make your clothing to match those. Because once they have the shoes, they're looking for an outfit. Yeah. So that's what I mean by positioning yourself in front of people who are already looking for what you're selling. So one of the reasons why I even got my mall location is because that's my cold traffic. And that those are the people, every time when they meet me in the mall, they see it, they like it. Even if they don't buy today, follow me on Instagram. Yeah. They follow me on Instagram. Now they're seeing me post every single day. Now when they see something that matches the shoes that they have, they're going to go ahead. Oh, let me click on the website. Let me see how much it is. And I'm also getting feedback on what they like, what they don't like about my clothes. And once you are making something and you know exactly what your customer wants, then from there, it kind of becomes like automation at that point where it's just like, all right, I know they like this. Let's switch up the colors. And you're eventually going to strike gold. It's going to be at one product that sells really good for you and is going to be your moneymaker. Don't change up from that. Once you strike gold, double up on it, triple up on it, and just keep pushing. Because a lot of things, I mean, and he touched on it earlier, is like we find something that's working and we're making money from it, and then we divert and try to do something new. You shouldn't do that. About at least 65% should be you just changing up the color on what's already working, and then about 30% of your product should be you experimenting on something new. But it's going to take a while. So I'm going to say this, and I might say it three more times today. The clothing brand business is a patience game.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out what's that product that's the strike gold product. We talked about Denim Tears. Denim Tears selling the same thing, which they made millions of dollars off of. V-Loan, it's the one product that they made millions of dollars off of. True Religion, it's that one product that they're making millions of dollars off of. Even a Chanel bag, I think that's their most highest revenue generating product. But once you find out what that is, which is going to take time to be able to figure it out, keep pushing that. And push it out to different influencers. You've got to post content in it every day and figure out different creative ways to be able to do it. Let me give you one hack. So one hack that I do is I create a totally separate Instagram. And on this Instagram page, I follow all the clothing brands that I like. Every single clothing brand that I like personally, that I can see myself closely relating to. Because at that point, what you're doing is tricking the algorithm to where now, instead of you seeing naked girls on Instagram all day, you're only seeing clothing brand content. You're seeing streetwear content. So now you're seeing what other people are posting. And typically, you can look at people's engagement. What video has the most likes? What video has the most views? That's telling you what's working for them. Mm. And you want to try to mimic that and create content just like that. Mm-hmm. But all of that comes after you find out the product that strike goes.
Mm-hmm. I like that last part because that's what I'd be like. That's what I'd be trying to tell people. It's like now I'm an analytical designer. Like I like study the analytics and design to that because like that, like it's telling you something, you know, with that engagement. It's telling you that that's the product. It's telling you that that's the quote. It's telling you that that's, you know, what that client wants.
Yeah.
So you got to continuously dive more and deeper into that. It's like what Marlon was saying earlier that everybody couldn't see the vision. It's a basic font, but it just can't stop selling, can't stop getting engagement.
Yeah.
Just because of the messaging of that product. You know, it didn't take me long to design that.
And one thing about business, man, to be honest, business is going to mold you into the person that you need to be so that you can be successful. Mm-hmm. Because me, I'm a creative. I never wanted to get into doing my books, looking at analytics and numbers. Like, that's the nerdy stuff. But the boring stuff is what makes you the money. So you, as you go on through business, you have to figure out, okay, what am I lacking in? What are some things that I need to learn? And a lot of times it's going to be the boring work, like sitting there actually organizing, inputting the numbers into Shopify of how much this costs and how much, and adding up how much you're paying on shipping, how much you're paying on the bags. All that boring stuff is the people that do those boring stuff is the people that win.
But that's not boring. That's entrepreneurship.
That's fun.
In our perspective, yes, going out, doing the pop-up shops, making a cash register ring, that is what, you know, get us excited. It's like, that's like actually planning a game. Yeah. But what you're speaking on is practice. Yeah, what you're speaking on is going to lift weights. Yeah, what you're speaking on is watching film. And so if you actually want to go to the league, like, you have to go do those
that's
things.
That's what's going to separate, you know what I'm saying, who really doing part. It from who just playing around.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah.
For sure.
A question. So one of the things that I seen, like, on TikTok recently is this girl. She has, like, the Chicago Hottie shirts, and it's literally just a text base. And so, like, all of the girls with Megan Thee Stallion, who's going to Megan Thee Stallion tour, they're, like, asking, like, oh, put, like, Atlanta Hotties or Houston Hotties, like, put all of that stuff. And she could have capitalized off of that in the best way possible because it was spoken about all over on TikTok. But instead, she was like, I'm not doing it. Like, y'all can make y'all own shirts. So how you said, like, you design based off of what you see in the analytics, like, how do you go about continuing to produce what the client is asking for?
I feel like that's good for her branding too. Yeah. Like, because, like, at the same time, like, we are in the business of, like sometimes people, I would say sometimes people don't want what other people have, but ultimately what other people is buying makes other people want to buy too, if that makes sense. But I would say that's a good form of staying on brand.
Yes,
and that's a good form of, like, building up more hype for other stuff that you release, because it's almost like a negative into a positive. It's almost like, Nah, I ain't doing this. And it's just building up more hype, more demand, more eyes, because you telling me about it, more ears hearing it. So I would say if something like that was to come about, like, inside of your business, I would say it is time that you do have to draw the line and say, I'm staying on brand, because I know that this is going to be a bigger payout in the long run. So I would say that what she did, and I don't, you just telling me about it, it's just me learning about it for the first time in my life. But I would say now you can use that engagement and you can use that storytelling to build up your next release. So always, you don't have to just be like, all right, I'm doing this because y'all said do it. Because in reality, everybody going to tell you what you think you should be doing when they don't know your business at all. You can't have somebody knowing your business more than you know the business, because then you wouldn't even be in business. You see what I'm saying? So I would say, like, find those things to actually stay on brand, because that really make your conversion go up tremendously the next time around you do a release or do a drop. That, you know, it build community. Put it like that. Sure. Yeah. So I would say you don't have to, everything that get engagement, you don't have to be like, oh, I'm going to just go do it for the money.
And there's two.
I was going to say, well, before we actually do the last question, because I just realized we didn't talk a whole lot about community. Could y'all, I guess, give the audience a few tips on what you could do to build a strong community around your fashion brand? Like, just having people that's like diehard, like, I love this brand with my whole life, you know?
I love this part right here. This is my favorite part. Because, I mean, with our crew brand, essentially, what I like to do, first of all, I call everybody in the crew members, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you join the crew, I say good things happen when you wear crew, literally. There's so many people who bought stuff from us, and they may have went and won a contest or got a house, and they have the pictures to be able to show and prove it. But what we do is we organize different events every now and then, where we'll have a party or we'll have, like, a networking event. Just like how we did on January 1st, we had a networking fitness event where we just called all entrepreneurs and all members of the crew to be able to come out and work out with us. Because with our brand, we're pushing the culture forward. We're pushing unity. That's why it's called Crew. And we want to be able to instill this into people. But also, everybody that supports us and believes in our mission as far as our brand, we want to be able to bring them all in the same room. Because, okay, with Crew, we want to unite our culture and we want to spread the love. So if you're somebody that believes in that, 9 times out of 10, you're going to relate to everybody else that's in this room as well. So, I mean, we've had multiple events. The January 1st event, we've collabed on an event, the Entrepreneurship Networking event. That was a huge success. I mean, we had this entire room that we're in right now packed out.
With no AC.
And everybody was having a good time and enjoying themselves. So the entire mission and our entire thing, what we're trying to do with community is bring like-minded people together. Because that's something that's really hard in today's day and age if you're stuck in the house all the time. So once we bring like-minded people together who believe in loyalty and respect, who believe in uniting the culture, who believe in spreading the love, then that makes people fall in love even more with the brand because it's like, oh, you're not just selling clothes. This is like a real movement.
Yeah.
And that's what we got going on. So make sure you follow me, man, Mino on the mic, and stay tuned with all the events that we got coming up.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, pretty much everything that he said is the same thing that we do. I think, like, brands should what we did was started doing, like, annual events. So stuff that comes around consistently, and we have seen that just continue to grow. Like, one of the events we do is called – it was called the March Madness basketball game, but we changed it to the World Envision Classic. And it's going to be the fourth year coming up this year. And last year we had over 300 people. At the game.
That's
so it, and it's, and when you're doing those type of things for a specific community, they come out, we gave someone $1,000, everybody at one world war world and vision to the game got a chance to enter to win $1,000. So you just like getting them to celebrate with you, and when people see that, like what we talked about earlier, that you standing on your mission behind your brand, it's easier for them to support you. It's easy for them to start to engage. It's easy for them to tell somebody. Like, it's easy to build a community when you're actually doing things. Like, a lot of times we don't build communities because we aren't doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, we barely doing a pop-up shop. So how are you going to build a community if you're not even outside at all? So I think it's actually putting your brand in position to create a community. Mm-hmm. Like, and that starts with you, like, getting active.
Yeah. I add on just to, like, the beginning phase. Like, if you just getting started, you watching this, you just getting started trying to build a community. One thing that we did at the beginning was we actually got on a Zoom call with our customers. Like, we actually had, like,
the top 100
that spent the most money with us.
Oh,
and we hop on a Zoom
it.
With them. And, like, they just excited. Like, they really just, like, super excited to
That's
meet
hard.
Us. Super. We actually mailed them a golden ticket, dog. It was
That's
crazy.
That's
we, like, mailed them.
For sure, yeah.
Like, mailed it in the mail because we wanted them to, like, physically have it in their hand. So, like, we did that. They hopped on a Zoom call, and it really gave us, you know, more information about the people that was buying from us. And that allowed them to even buy more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
that
crazy.
That's dope.
And
no,
one last thing I just want to say on that, like, to people that starting out, what is your mission behind your brand? So that's the first thing you have to ask yourself, because if you're trying to figure out how to build community, 9 times out of 10, people are going to fall in love with the mission behind your brand. What's the meaning behind your brand? So don't just come up with a name, Rich, whatever, which is what everybody does. But what does it actually mean? Like, what is your purpose behind your brand? And once you do that, you're going to notice that you start to attract the like-minded people just like that.
No, for sure. Well, we got one more question. Hold up. My phone.
I got a question for y'all.
Oh, okay.
What's up?
So, what's been one of the growing pains that y'all been seeing inside y'all brands?
That's a good question.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
You want to start?
You just started your brand yet. Well, you're maybe graphic design.
Is it, would it be like graphic
getting started?
Design?
You could talk about
okay,
getting
cool.
started. What's been the toughest,
oh, yeah, yeah.
What's
yeah,
been the toughest part getting started?
Ladies first.
Okay, I feel like this whole year has been a whole bunch of growing pains when it comes to my brand, because like November, December, it took off and I realized, oh, shoot, you was not ready for none of this. Mm-hmm. I had so many people finding my brand. My website was getting like 1,000 visits a day, every day for like 2.5 weeks. They had my email list thing set up, so I'm not getting no emails until like the last 2 days or 3 days of that run. Then I got like 2,000 emails. And then it's just like so much that I realized I was messing up at. Like, I didn't know how to keep people engaged in the email list. Then realizing that I wasn't like creating content that was supposed to go to the, like, that should be, that would go to the right people. It's just a lot, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, all of this is new for me. Before November, all I've done is custom. I never had a website that you just go and buy stuff off of. Oh my gosh, another thing, packaging, bruh. people was not liking my boxes that I was shipping stuff in. In their head, it's like, I'm spending $500 for some pants. I want the nicest box ever. In my head, it was like, the product is amazing. You know, I was sending it in like a bag, like a garment bag, and then I would put it in a box. But Tabitha Brown, she had bought a pair of pants, and she had sent me a video on Instagram, and she was just like, the pants are nice, but baby, I did not like this box that it came in. And so it's just like so many things that I'm realizing that, oh, girl, you're doing a lot of this wrong. But it's like people love the product. But it's just so much on the back end. I realized that I am doing wrong. Even this is the last thing I'll say, because like I said, it's been a lot of mistakes. But I realized that now people have a perception of my brand like, oh, this is a luxury brand. When they come to my website, not my website, my Instagram, it's like, this is a luxury product. They see all these gowns like, oh, she works with these celebrities. This is a luxury brand. But I felt like everything else kind of was falling like subpar. So it's like you got a luxury product with a luxury price, but it's like your website really not giving luxury. Or, like, your emails is not really giving luxury. Mm-hmm. Or even, like, my content. I was just doing a whole bunch of stuff on my phone. And at first it was cool, you know, like, these phone videos, they're getting me 1 million views, 800,000 views, da-da-da-da. But now it's just, like, people feel like if I'm investing this much money into your brand, then I want to see some higher produced content. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to keep seeing phone videos. Mm. And so it's just like now I'm at a place where, oh, shoot, I got to invest into like everything else to bring it up to what people expect. Like in my head, I'm like, shoot, all of this is new. I just had 6,000 followers a couple months ago. They look at it like, oh, no, this is like 60,000 follower brand that be on the red carpet and be on TV and be on all these places. This is a real brand. So it's like they expect a different experience. Mm-hmm. And so that has been like the gist of the last couple months of me just really like figuring stuff out. Mm.
Sure, that's really, really good. I say for Royty, made it learning. It's a lot that goes into it because being a graphic designer, people want their stuff. People want their services provided in a timely manner. You also have to be able to like. I realize that being a graphic designer, you can't be introverted too much to the point like you don't speak at all, because it's like with doing that. I'm like a person where it's like, all right, you give me the design, I'm gonna do it. But I realized that like getting on phone calls and like going through that process where we're on the phone and like we're making changes as we go, I'm like, oh, this makes it a lot smoother because we're now working through it throughout the process. And then honestly speaking, I ran my business for 2 years straight up until 2023. I ran my business for 2 years straight just off of word of mouth. Literally, like, no marketing, no nothing, like, just word of mouth, because I had a YouTube channel. I brought that audience same way, like, Yumino with the music and stuff. Like, I brought my YouTube audience to my business for graphic design. So when I stopped filming videos on YouTube, I converted those followers over there. And with that being said, that just brought me the clients that I needed. And when you work with millionaire clients, they have millionaire friends. So now they're referring me to their friends, and that's how I'm able to, like, get in these rooms, get connections and stuff, is because I'm doing word of mouth. I'm getting word of mouth referrals. And so that played a huge part in like my growth, me establishing my brand. But now what I realized is I was missing out on so much. I didn't have my books together. I didn't know like how much am I actually making each year? How much am I making each month on a day-to-day basis? All of that stuff. Realizing that, okay, these clients are coming back, but how frequent are they coming back? Like, what are you gaining from what are the percentages that they're likely to come back? What are the percentages that they're likely to get a design every week rather than once in a blue moon? Mm-hmm. So, like, those are the things that I'm learning now and realizing, like, an email list is important, a text list is important. Because I had so much word of mouth, I wasn't really focused on that because I'm like, I'm just getting the clients, like, they're coming in. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is the pricing. The pricing plays a part in everything. I realized that I have left myself like wide open with anybody can work with me if you have the price that I'm offering you. And the prices were cheap until I realized like, okay, now people are perceiving you based off of the clients that you work with. They're perceiving you to to have a high price. And so when they come to, when they were coming to me and I mentioned a price, they're like, oh, that's it. And I'm like, dang, like now you have to start raising your prices, because it shouldn't be if you need the design, you can just get it. What is the requirement in order for you to start working with Royalty Made It? What's the level of expertise in your field? And so now what I intend to do is work with industry dominators and work with people in the industry that are like doing great things. World Envision, Crew, all of that stuff. Like even my one of my clients that I'm working with like more exclusively right now is Queen Naja, and she's an industry dominator in R&B. So like now we get to both be creative in edits and stuff like that. So that's what I'm working on, is like building that brand consistency overall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Yep.
Something that I had to learn, and I'm honestly still learning, is managing community. So I feel like God has blessed me where I know how to make content and like get eyes and stuff like that. But something I had to overcome is like not liking to sell. Like I don't know. For the longest time, I'm getting like millions of views, all this stuff. But you go on my page, you see I don't have. It's like you go on my page, you have to scroll to see I even sell. Like it looks like a theme page. You know what I'm saying? So like managing community, even like my Discord, like I'm just now starting to be consistent on there doing calls and stuff. But I need to start doing stuff in person. But it's kind of like, I don't know. I guess it's, I don't know what that roadblock is that's kind of like pulling me back or stopping me from doing these things with the eyes that I'm getting, the community that I'm building up. But that's something I had to learn. And even designs, like for the longest time, I used to stay on a design for like a month and move on. And even with the designs I did draw, I didn't even like them for real. So it was kind of like I was rushing it. So yeah, designs and then managing community. Mm-hmm. And also data. Like I need to learn more how to collect like more numbers and emails. Like I have like a whole list, but I don't know how to send emails out. Like, mm-hmm. I know how to do it, but I don't know how to do it in a way where it's like people open it up and they actually buy. Sure. And mm-hmm. even designing it. Like, I know it's like a whole way you have to structure it. Like, text has to be here, but I don't, that's something I have to learn. But
for sure.
Yeah.
One thing I'm proud of Yanni for doing is, remember you had the Walk Wisely with God, yeah, with the man. Like, before, so many people were telling her, like, oh, remove this, take this. And she was just, like, doing it because, like, that's what people are telling her to do. But now I feel like she took her, like, power back and, like, yeah, she's sticking with one thing. And it's helped her grow, that's like, real, tremendously. I like that.
Thank you.
I feel like you had asked me something one time. You was like, should I do this design?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
this? I was like, what was this already working?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. I was like, what you changing it for? Yeah. I was just like, like do what you want to do. Like, yeah,
that's real.
Funny.
That's,
but I like what you said though, because honestly, like I'm not a person that likes to go out there and just like sell.
Yeah.
But like I had to, I have 4,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And for a long period of time, like I never had an Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just crazy because, mm-hmm, like even though we made all these videos and stuff, I still don't even be liking to go watch all those videos of myself. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it'd be hard for me to, you know, go back and watch. But at the same time, like, this is what I had to do. Like, this is what, like you saying, like, this is the gift God gave me.
Yeah.
And I need to, like, show this gift off.
Exactly.
So, like, you going to, like, as you keep doing it, mm-hmm, like, it's going to come, like, more smoother. Yeah. And it's going to flow more easy through you. So I would say just keep going,
y'all,
keep failing, and keep learning.
Y'all know we entrepreneurs, right? Like,
yeah, not for real.
Like this is the hardest job, period.
Yeah,
like ain't nothing harder than this.
Yeah.
Like whatever you think is hard, this is 10 times harder than that. Like, no, you don't have nobody else like yeah, to go, like like your boat. If your boat sink, you sink. Like,
yeah, you won't sink.
Patching up the boats and the hole.
And like you was just about to say, by yourself. So mm-hmm, think about for us. If you got 50 people, your boat sink. Yeah. You shipping. You got families going, right, down.
Yeah.
So and when we put it in that perspective, that's when a lot of times, growing our brand, I want to leave it because I don't know, we're at the last question, but like we don't look at it to that point on how serious our job actually is, like, yeah, in what you do with your brand. I tell people all the time, you got to have a schedule, even if you got a job or you don't got a job. If you got a job, you definitely need a schedule, because you're not realizing how much time, not saying that you're wasting, but that you're giving to other stuff. And when you get your schedule, you're going to be like, okay, I got content at this time. I can't go meet you at the bar. Right. Like, I got, you know, marketing I'm about to work on. I'm about to work on setting up my database that I don't have at this time that I got to work. Like, if you showed up to your job and you didn't work, you would be fired. Yeah. So, like, a lot of us got jobs and for our brand and we don't work.
Yeah. We don't even show up.
Let alone on time. And then if you're doing your brand full time, you have to have a schedule. Because ain't no way you getting everything done inside of your brand full time. Because we say it all the time, it's so much stuff that you got to do every day. You like it's endless amount of stuff that we got to do, but we can only do what's on the schedule.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. I just honestly started implementing a schedule in my life like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, wow, I feel so much more productive now. Like literally having everything planned out. Like, oh, from this time to this time, you need to work on these samples. From this time to this time, you're doing this. From this time to this time. And I literally have not done that. And I've seen such a huge transformation in just productivity. Mm-hmm. And so it made me think like, wow, what were you doing before, girl? Like,
Yes. It's crazy. It's crazy because this the gym he always dropped. Because Marlon is the schedule man.
Yeah,
this the thing he always say. What your schedule is now ain't what your schedule gonna be in the next 3 months or 6 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So design your schedule for right now, but also design your schedule for what you want your schedule to be like.
Yeah.
And don't and be open to changing it. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? It's gonna change, it's gonna develop. Some things gonna get lost because you're gonna say, I don't need to do this.
Yep.
Some things
may increase. Else gonna start doing
or
it.
Somebody else gonna do it.
Like, my bad, bro. We didn't have no meetings. Like, it was just like I had no meetings on the schedule at first. And then it was just like, okay, like we ain't gonna be able to get to this if we not actually sitting down and talking. So it was just like, okay, now we got one meeting a day. Then we realized, dang, we not talking about this. So now we gotta set a time of time for this. And then once that evolved, it's like, okay, I don't need to be in this no more. Our manager could do this. Yep. Or one of the team members can handle this meeting. So now I got that time back. And now we realize, oh, dang, we needed something else. Now I just take that off there and we implement whatever we need the most inside the business now. So, like, that's what he mean by, like, your schedule going to keep changing. Like, you got to see, like, what you're doing right now in your brand ain't what you if you're still doing that in 3 months, that's a problem. Like, if you're still doing that for 6 months, that's bad. I mean, if you're still doing it for 12 months, you need to be fired. You need to, like, you need to replace yourself. Because, honestly, some of us aren't in the best. Like, if I was doing Nick's job, I probably wouldn't be in the best position. Mm-hmm. I probably would need to be fired. And, you know, it would probably be vice versa. So you need to figure out what you actually best at. And, like my man was saying, start assembling your team and getting people that can start bringing those ideas. And then I know we're going to say, how do we pay these people? Right now, you need to work hard so that way people could believe in you first. Yeah.
That people will give, like,
we was paying people just taking them to lunch and giving them free food. People was volunteering because they were seeing how hard we was working. Like, people not helping you because they not really seeing you go all in. You're not working.
That's a bar.
You know how many people? You know how many people that probably watch y'all on these videos and would love to come volunteer?
Yeah,
it's so crazy because we just said that. That's so crazy. We just said that. That is so crazy.
And I love what he said because that's what I want to touch on what you said about being afraid to sell. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's two types of brands. There's money driven brands and there's purpose driven brands. With your brand, you push the word of God, which I love, like 1,000,001%. Right. So that's how we have to look at it. Is Whenever we're selling a product, and I always encourage people to be mission driven with your brand. Don't follow the money. Don't chase after the money. You're talking about the TikTok thing. Don't be money driven with your brand. Be purpose driven. And as you are talking about your purpose and you're talking about everything that you do, you want to make sure that your clothes actually reflect that. So walk wisely with God is amazing. So now you might go up to people as you do your interviews and you're telling them about God, the word of God, and how good he is to you and why people should believe. But it should all be leading back to your actual product, which is, okay, this is my brand. This is what I'm pushing. Would you like to support? Mm-hmm. And whether they say yes or they say no, at the end of the day, your purpose was to spread the word of God. So it doesn't hurt at all. And the no doesn't affect you whether they say yes or no, because regardless, you're just telling them about the word of God. And 9 times out of 10, if you did a good job at articulating it and they believe in the same thing or they want to believe in the same thing, they're going to support you.
That is so good. No, that was good.
I was going to say the main thing is, like, with all of us sitting here, I do envision us like world envision. I do envision us like being like household brands. And that's what I strive and I see for all of us. Like every that single part. Time I think about like the future and stuff, I just see a household brand where the same way you think of Apple, we all got Apple phones. Whoever has an Android, I'm sorry about them green messages.
Damn.
But it's like that's what I feel as though we all strive for, and the fact that we all able to get up and do what we're passionate about, that's the most honorable thing that like we could be doing today.
Entrepreneurs, like this is a big quote of entrepreneurs solve problems for profit, bruh. And I don't know if this out there, I might be giving somebody $1 million idea why we just can't make all the messages blue.
That's good.
That's a good
point. That's good. I don't even know what to say. Let's go ahead. No.
But that could probably be some branding type stuff. Like Android, yeah, they got to sure. be a different color.
Yes.
But if everybody, if the Android just had blue messages too, everybody, we all be good.
That is so true. Nah, this was a good conversation though, for sure. Our last question is, we want to know, what was the most successful month that y'all had? And what do you think were the key things that you did that contributed to that being your most successful month?
800,000.
Yeah, I say for World and Vision specific. So that's what happened. I'm gonna just talk about just World and Vision. We have multiple businesses.
Okay.
But for the biggest month for World and Vision, we did like 830,000 dollars. That was because we was very, very prepared. Mm-hmm. Like we knew everything that we was gonna release. We had already ordered it in bulk. Like we had all the product. Like we had all the product in our warehouse ready to be shipped out. It was higher average order value. So we got this strategy we call it the high low strategy. Mm-hmm. And what it is we use a low ticket item to drive traffic mm-hmm. to ultimately get the traffic to get the low ticket and the high ticket. So the way we was able to do the 800,000 was because we had a $10 shirt, but we had an $80 set.
Okay.
So we was all driving them to the $10 shirt, but the $80 set was right under it. I'm gonna tell y'all something. You always gonna notice that the number one product on your website is always gonna be the first product that they see. So like we will put the product that we want them to click, but we will also put a high dollar amount product right under it because we know that that's the next item that they gonna see and buy. So that was how we was able to do the 800,000. We was well prepared. Team was ready. Every order was getting shipped out every single day. Customer service was on point. Everything was just on point, ready to go.
That's hard.
I mean, shoot, after you say that, but I feel like I ain't even doing that. I actually love that because, like, the thing I love about this game with entrepreneurship, there's literally no ceiling whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the person that you become, well, the level of success that you're going to achieve is ultimately dependent on the person that you become, mm-hmm. right? So I would say, I mean, my most successful month was about $40,000, right? Which to me is amazing because I see myself constantly improving, and I know for a fact that that's not the highest that I'm gonna reach, right? Mm-hmm. But what worked for me really well is being able to cater to more people and more different styles. So I have a saying, which is we're gonna make the world crew, mm-hmm. which is basically that we're gonna push our mission to the world, mm-hmm. which is to unite the culture and spread the love. So now we're making women clothes, we're making kid clothes, and we're also making male clothes as well. So we're catering to all different things. But the fact that you guys just did 800,000 as young black professional, I mean, that's amazing, man. We got to give a round of applause.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, because we talk about like enjoy the, like I remember like having 10K months, like, and like exactly what you just said is about growing, continuing to grow to that person that you need to become, and your brand growing to that brand that it needs to become. Because in reality, like, it's factors that get you to that point. Like, mm-hmm. we can't make $800,000 if we don't have $800,000 worth of merchandise.
And do you think that would be possible as well without all the employees that you guys have?
Well, I wouldn't even say the employees. I would say the system, like we say, you know, your business is going to make you a lot of money, but your system is going to make you a fortune. So right now, like you just said, 40K month, like basically you just need more eyes on it.
Yeah.
But in order to get those more eyes, it's not necessarily about putting more money into marketing, but it's about like what we're talking about, having a schedule, you know, showing up, meeting, and really planning things out to really be like a world-class entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I would say definitely we needed the team, not employees, but team, mm-hmm. to send the product out.
Yeah.
But if the systems wasn't there for them to get the product out, they mm-hmm. wouldn't even know what to do themselves. You get what I mean? So it's like the systems that was intact mm-hmm. was the thing that ultimately helped us scale to that level.
Yeah, because to me, I think I try to stay within, because I'm working with a small team right now, right? But like Amazon almost has the game to where like people want it right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, by all means, like scale up the budget 100%. But I also try to focus on the customer reputation as well, to where I'm able to deliver in the time frame of what I'm saying.
Of course.
Of what I'm doing. But nah, I love that for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it's ways around, like, you got to have I have a great relationship with a manufacturer. Like, he know how I talk. He know I'm from New Orleans. Like, they be wanting to come pull up on me. Yeah. You get what I mean? Like we able to
800,000. Yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah, like, it's like, nah, for real though. But it's having those great it's really not. I wouldn't even say it was about all the money that we put into marketing.
Yeah,
it was about like the other stuff that we don't recognize, the systems, the relationships. Like me knowing that he gonna show up, him knowing I'm gonna show up. You know, like being there, like doing it at this time.
Yeah.
Like you get being that every morning we was at the warehouse at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like Marlon Marlon was waking up six years strong, 5 a.m. He'd be the first person up. And then somebody else, like, we would all try to beat each other up. I was the one that would lose every day though. Just letting y'all know. Yeah. But like nobody don't see, you know, like, bro, we beat up, like we be up.
Yeah. And people, I love that, because I mean I do that now where I wake up early. But people say like, oh yeah, I want to be an entrepreneur so I can get more freedom. Yeah, okay. And the way you do get more freedom, but that goes back to the person that you become, because your willpower to wake up early in the morning when nobody else is telling you to do mm-hmm. it. It's the disciplines that help you be able to grow into business. And that's something that we have to understand, because nobody's going to tell you, oh, you need to do this at this time or wake up at 5 a.m. because you got orders to ship out or something like that. But depending on on your business, you want to make sure that you are practicing these daily disciplines to be able to fulfill and become the best, highest version of yourself.
Yeah.
Last thing before we go, because I want the audience to really understand, especially at this level, like, because it's quick to put, you know, I've been having it for a minute, CEO in our bio, entrepreneur in our bio, but we really need to understand like what that actually means. Like, you have to understand that it's just not like a game. Mm-hmm. Like you're not just doing this for play. Like, you're actually doing this to create a business, and mm-hmm. you're gonna get that freedom when you actually have system in play. Like right now, we still don't look at ourselves as fully entrepreneurs, because we still building multiple businesses that we still run. You're not an entrepreneur if you actually running your business. That's why you don't have the freedom. Like, businesses and entrepreneurs, true entrepreneurs, they just like work on their business.
Yep.
Like, they don't actually work inside their business. Mm-hmm. So that's why they actually able to have freedom to think, to meet, to grow, to do the things that they need to do, because the business isn't tied to their success. Like, if you was to take yourself out your business and your business would basically stop, you don't have a business. And you're not at that point, you're not an entrepreneur. You're aspiring to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And sometimes we have to bring ourselves to the reality of we not who we say we are yet. And we have to continue to work every day to become that person.
Nice. Yeah.
One tip I want to give to all young entrepreneurs, the last thing, learn how to play chess. Learn how to play chess. Cause we be thinking, me and this dude think similar. Like, we think different too, but we think similar. Like, it's times that like somebody will ask me a question and I think so hard about it and get it wrong, and then they'll ask him and he'll be like, it's this simple, you know what I mean? And it'll be straight to the point. But like playing chess, like, helped us so much in reading books, but playing chess allow our brain to, when we see something, like, he probably thinking just like me, you like 40K, I'm like, oh, we get that to 400,000. You get what I mean? Like, we do this, we gonna get that baby to.
I'm ready to start expanding.
We have to have a challenge. Like, we have to be challenged with something. We have to be like, like working on problems. Like, we want to solve problems all day.
Oh my God, yes.
That's how we be. That's exactly how we be.
People tell you that black people don't work together, but look at these brothers right here, man. That's amazing.
For real. Like, literally, how you said the thing about problem solving, I was just thinking about that last month. It's just the importance of being able to think bigger and just knowing how to solve problems. Like, I feel like that's really what life is. Life is constant problems. So you have to be able to be a person who can, like, see a problem and know how to fix it. Not, oh, here goes a problem, I quit, I give up, or I don't want to do this no more, or whatever.
Or it's not working.
Exactly. Like, you literally have to become someone who can look at something and be like, okay, I'm going to figure out how to do that. Like, I remember when I dropped out of college, like, one of the first things I started doing every time a problem came, I would take my notebook and I would write out, okay, what are all the ways that I could solve this problem? Like, just, I would write random stuff, even if it made no sense. But it's like, you literally have to get your mind to the point where it just is always thinking of, like, okay, how can I make this thing happen? How can I bring this thing to life? So, yeah, y'all dropped a lot of gems, like, for real, definitely. Like, this was really, really
not the little one.
Period. But leave everybody with y'all social media, your brands, and then, yeah, we're going to wrap this up.
Get my boy personal followers up right
now.
Man,
quick. Yeah. I'm still on my journey to hit my first 10,000 followers. Follow me at, before y'all follow me, make sure y'all follow the brand first and foremost, World Envision, WRLDINVSN. That's on Instagram, YouTube, every social media, worldandvision.com. Then y'all go check out my personal page if that's what y'all want to do, at Nick Vision, NICKVSN.
Yep, and I'm at X, Marlon Watts X. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's your boy Mina on the mic, man, founder of the Can't Right Every Wrong movement, where you don't have to apologize for being yourself. You just find like-minded individuals like you and make your own crew. And real quick, man, I got to show on the back because it's Can't Right Every Wrong movement. Make the world a crew.
They do it.
Yeah.
You're right. That crop tee. Yeah.
All right, cool. So y'all can follow me at Royal Travion, and my creative agency is Royal T Made It. Let's get it. If you're trying to get to 10K, you need 300 a day.
Let's get it.
I just came up with that.
No, that's what you said earlier. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to tap in.
My boy don't post enough for that.
That's funny.
Y'all can follow me, Yanni Bradshaw, and y'all can support my Christian streetwear brand at Wise Label. And y'all can follow me. My personal is at I am Jada Ellis, and then my fashion brand is at JAELL Official. Make sure y'all are subscribed to Growing Pains Podcast. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Growing Pains Pod. Don't forget the Z. And comment down the word. What should they comment?
Just give me my money.
What should they comment?
That.
Give me my money.
Okay. Yeah.
That's too long. That is too long.
Comment brand.
Brand. Okay, I like
comment
that.
Brand.
Yeah, comment down below brand it. If y'all made this far.
And then comment, comment, I guess, your favorite gem that you got from this episode, and then comment brand.
Can I give Yanni her flowers right quick?
Yeah, for sure.
We met you at InvestFest, I think, the first year.
Was it the basketball game?
No, I met you at InvestFest.
InvestFest, yeah. You remember that? InvestFest, you, I think it was like an interview or something.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that, you know.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. Make sure y'all put the B-roll somewhere.
Y'all gotta put the clip somewhere. Go find the clip.
I appreciate y'all for coming. This was a really good panel. Y'all some game, so.
For sure.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all for having
Thank
us.
Thank y'all for taking y'all time out. We're gonna see y'all later. Let's get it.
Bye, y'all.
Let's go.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.